Right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up?
So much stuff. So much.
What's going on today?
There's a lot going on.
Like what?
Too much.
I don't even know.
It's too much happening.
Should I know that?
It's too much. You probably should.
Yeah.
Although you're over there working on your, you got a cord issue over there?
Well, this is my charging cord.
Oh, yeah.
For my iPad, bro.
You see, you looked befuddled. You had one of those where you were...
Just getting it how I like it.
Well, sometimes you look down there at a cord and you just think to yourself, how the hell did that happen? And I thought you
not
may
with
have,
this one.
I
Boy,
you,
we need the WD-40 in there. That thing is really coming across. That's
yeah,
squeaky.
You're a little squeaky there. Yeah.
What do you think of that?
It's like old school radio.
What do you think of that?
People making the sound effects.
It is a bit much.
Well, that's not my department.
Well,
I don't even think we have WD-40. We cut that from the budget.
I beg to differ because I WD-40'd mine a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah?
And as you can tell...
You got to put in a...
Non-squeaky.
No squeak.
Got to put in an engineering ticket.
No, I just...
They'll get to it in the next couple weeks.
I just walked in and took the WD-40 and squirted it in the joints. I'm guessing you're not a big WD-40 guy.
That's a violation.
Why is that?
You can't do that.
That's an OSHA
thing?
You
have to go through the proper channels. We're very corporate.
Sometimes it's just easier to walk in and take the WD-40 out of the engineer department and do it yourself.
Got to put in a ticket.
How about this?
Somebody will get back to you.
I'll WD-40 that for you on the break.
Great.
There you go.
Get it done.
Yeah. WD-40 is a wonderful thing. Every home should have it.
Could you fix the AC, too, while you're at it?
I fixed mine yesterday. I got the panicked phone call from the BTJ yesterday about 5:36.
Big time Japanese
called me, or I guess sent me the text message saying that
you're speaking Japanese.
The panel was dead, and that it appeared that the house was too hot, aka nothing's working. So I went home, and you know, with my C+B- knowledge,
you flipped the breaker, didn't you?
No, just it needed to be reset. Filter needed to be cleaned out, needed to be reset, and it was fine. But I will tell you this now. I fixed the hot water heater like 8 months ago, and we didn't have to replace it, and I managed to fix that. So therefore, in the BTJ's mind right now, I'm basically Bob Vila, and what I'm thinking about doing is sabotaging things in the house and then fixing them, because the amount of credit that I get for doing not that hard tasks around the house, it's really kind of mind-blowing. And I've thought about this as now a new strategy for husbands, boyfriends, whatever. Just sabotage simple things in the house. And then, because she doesn't watch you fix them, and then you can go in the garage or whatever, drink a beer, hang out for like 20 minutes, make a lot of noise, and then plug in whatever needs to be plugged in or flip a breaker and come back and be like, yeah, I did that. And the next thing you know, good things are happening to you. I'm telling you, good things happened last night. Why? Because I fixed the air conditioner. I fixed the heat pump.
Well, let's get on it here. Chop.
Well, are you gonna? What
it's
are
hot
you,
out there.
What are you doing for me? I'm fixing ACs. I'm WD-40. You know what? What do I get out of it?
You get a good co-host. I don't know. I'll host a good show today.
I'd wear that Padres hat, which is looking clean, but screw the Padres.
Why?
Well, you know why.
No, I don't.
They took them a Mets.
Oh.
Yeah. Remember a couple years ago? Didn't go well.
Oh, yeah. That was the Mets.
That's what's in.
So my Royals have beaten your Mets.
Yeah, and your Padres.
And my Padres have beaten your Mets.
Yeah, I'm not real happy about it. Hmm. So.
May adopt the team that beats them this year. Get a new hat.
If we get in, you know.
Yeah, a lot of ball left.
Yeah, I'm thinking about turning off the water on the toilet. You know, you just have the little valve down there.
Yeah.
And then she'd be like, the toilet's not flushing. I come home. And I get out a wrench, get out a couple things, be like, oh, this is going to be a tough one, honey. Don't worry, I'm on it. You go upstairs and just kind of bang some stuff around, turn the valve back on, boom.
Yeah, the live cam has you just clanking tools together to make it sound like you're doing some plumbing.
Maybe some drilling sounds.
Exactly. Like, are you drilling the toilet? Honey, you don't need to worry about it. There's man stuff going on up here. But, telling you, I'm going to need some other stuff happening tonight once I fix this.
I got to run to the hardware store.
You know,
i.e. the bar.
I'm telling you, this is like the best plan that I've ever concocted, and it's working. I didn't even sabotage the hot water heater or the old heat pump AC unit, and yet, you know, here we are. All of a sudden, I'm getting credit. I'm getting pork belly made tonight, like my favorite dish that she makes with Japanese fried chicken, all because I reset a furnace and cleaned out an air filter.
Well, it's like 90 degrees out there.
And see, there with the panic. Like, she hit the panic button knowing that it was going to be hot.
This isn't a big deal, but it's 90 degrees.
Yeah.
We're in this nice new building, and the damn AC never works.
Well, and I will say, when I got home yesterday, it was pretty warm. So the panic level was rising. The best part is that it took me like 20 minutes, and I got it working again. You know who was the happiest about it? The damn dog.
Oh, yeah.
He went and laid on the AC vent for like a half hour and wouldn't move. The big fella, he doesn't like it when it gets warm. He won't even go upstairs and sleep when it's hot because the downstairs stays cooler.
Smart.
Yeah, so like you'll be like, hey, buddy, let's go to bed. And if it's a warm evening, he just looks at you and is like, nope, nice try. I know how hot it is up there, staying right down here laying on the vent.
Well, we do have a big show. You mentioned it. There's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on.
I mean, my God. What the hell's going on? A lot.
Where do you want to start?
Well, the poll question will kick it off.
Okay.
And we're going to do the poll question right meow because we got to get going.
We got to get going.
Because if I know anything from 20 years of doing this, it's that the local stories, particularly just the local stories, they all come in bunches.
They do.
You notice that?
Yeah.
It's never one.
No.
And I think it's all because they all hate each other and they all want to one-up each other.
Try to one-up.
But
like the Blazers heard that the Diamond Project was going to have some
WNBA's like, coming. Blazers like, wait a minute.
Watch this.
Blazers put out a statement, and then the Diamond Project's like, whoa, 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 whoa. We got to make something going on
Deal
here.
With this.
Well, anyway, Craig Cheek of the Portland Diamond Project is going to join us here in about an hour. He'll be on at 4. We're going to call him at 4 p.m., and we're going to talk to him about what the hell's going on there. They've pivoted to Zidell Yards now.
Yeah. Like, I thought, the last we talked to the great Mike Barrett of said Diamond Project, a right-hand man to Craig Cheek, that was when we were out at X Golf, and we're all in on Redtail. Redtail, although apparently now they're still in on Redtail, just not for the stadium. Where did this come from?
Yeah, well, I have a few ideas of where it came from, but we're going to ask Craig Cheek at 4 o'clock. Zidell is down at right by the tram there.
Yeah.
On the south water, right on the water.
Yeah. Which, by the way,
really nice place.
No offense to Redtail, but get bent.
Way better.
This is far superior.
Yeah. This is second best. The first best would have been Terminal 2 because of the size of it, but this is pretty kick ass. A little bitter because if it does happen, and look, there's a long way. No one's bought anything. But this was down by the old office. Under the old regime, we could have walked to a stadium, mythically 10 years from now.
Yeah, wouldn't that have been great?
That would have been great.
Yeah,
free parking.
We moved.
Yeah.
Maybe we should lobby to get them down here and get these homeless out of here and put a ballpark in there.
just
for us.
Can we have a ballpark underneath the 405 bridge, right? Remove the dock side, just have it out that way?
Ball hits the top of the freeway, ground rule double.
Yeah, it's like a no counties. Like it's the olden days of wiffle ball. It's like when we used to hit the hot tub. That's a no counties.
Sure, MLB would love that. Well, anyway, Cheek's going to join us at 4. We've got late breaking Pac-12 news, and the Blazers have made an announcement.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to get to all of that.
And dare I say, I think this is the best thing that the Blazers have done in years.
Absolutely.
I mean, literally.
Well, what
years.
Is, if this didn't happen, what is the best thing the Blazers have done in years?
Drafted Damian Lillard.
Drafted Lillard, yeah.
It was like 12 years ago.
Well, again, yeah, well, I
when
said,
I say it's... in years, I mean like maybe the last five, six, I don't know.
I mean,
you're going 12 years since they've done anything good?
What else do you want?
Well, they went to the West Finals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Swept by the Warriors.
In your face.
There you go. When was that? What year was that?
Ooh.
The West Finals. Because you're right. To be fair.
2017?
Yeah. I'll give you that. That's the best thing they've done. This is the best thing since the Western Conference Finals.
2019.
Okay, so it hasn't been that many. Boy, that feels a long time ago. And it's really not.
No.
Okay.
But COVID, I think.
Yeah, COVID was like.
Has made it feel like that.
Yeah, it was a multiplier.
Anything before 2020 was 100 years ago.
Well, and to be fair, anytime you're in sports and like you're building towards something, like you make a run to that, you think that like the next step is like right around the corner, and then you crash into the mountain, like, eh. Like the Bills had this, speaking of, you know, they got to the conference finals and it was like, oh man, the Super Bowl is right around the corner. And then since then, and now, you know, now there's some you know, some faith, some resurrection, you know, coming back from the Bills. They look real good. But yeah, you always think that the next step is just, it's a progression. And it's really not. It's more of a,
yeah,
it's more of a roller coaster.
Guys, move on.
And we're kind of, we're at the bottom of the roller coaster.
Yeah, it's not good right now.
No,
it's not
no.
breaking news, dude.
No.
But the news is good for fans because the Blazers have left Root. And a lot of people thought it was going to be Fox 12. I think even including Fox 12.
Yeah.
But it's KATU.
Yes.
And Sinclair. And they're building out their own station called Rip City TV.
I just like that Blazer Vision's back. That goes back to my childhood.
Yeah.
That was where my dad first got the illegal cable box. I think that's what spurred. My father loved pirating cable. And I believe he was spurned on by the Blazer Vision. Because I was like, back in the day, I want to say it was like $150 for like 20 games. And my dad was livid. And so he went out and he bought an illegal cable box to screw him over. So that when I hear Blazer Vision, that warms my heart. Takes me back to the days. Although yeah. This one, I think, is actually a pretty good value.
Yeah, that's the streaming component. That's $120 for the season.
Or $20 for a month, right?
Yeah, $20 for a month.
And if you've got, you know, rabbit ears or any station or any service that just brings you local live TV, you get it for free.
Yeah.
I'm on board, man. This is kick-ass.
So let's get to our poll question, since there is a lot of local news happening. Today, on X, at 1080 The Fam, we are asking you, what is the biggest local story to you? Is it WNBA to Portland? The Portland Diamond Project buying Zidell Yards? Pac-12 Survival? Or the Blazers to KATU and Blazer Vision? Vote, and vote hard.
I would say that the baseball thing, but no one's bought squat. It's a 4-year agreement to maybe buy something. So, no. I'm saying WNBA. I'm saying the WNBA.
Wow.
Because that's new money. That's new investments.
Wow.
I'm going with that. And I know that's a bit of an upset because the Blazers on KATU is kick-ass.
Girl, you something else.
That is a big deal. And everyone deserves, you should be able to watch your team. But that's not something like necessarily brand new. That's just someone having some common sense. The WNBA is another couple $100 million coming to and be invested with, you know, multiple home dates. They're building a practice facility. You got a billionaire family that's now owning the Thorns and the new WNBA team putting money down. I'm going with that. You had an outside entity that said, I want to invest in Portland. And if the Portland Diamond Project actually buys the yard, and remember, I think there's a big difference here, and I'm so pro-baseball, but this is not them buying. It's not. It's them agreeing to spend 4 years thinking about buying. So, no, I'm punting on that until they write a check. Then I'll say the baseball.
You know what's winning?
What?
Pac-12 survival.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Not even kidding.
I'm very confident.
Yeah. Man, well, it's very split poll. We've got Pac-12 survival at 31%. Yeah. The Blazers to KATU and Blazer Vision, 27%.
I'm going to go to that lake.
Portland Diamond Project buying Zidell Yards, 26%. Very close. And then WNBA to Portland bringing up the rear, 16%. That's so far.
Caitlin Clark is wide.
I'm just taking, the bird in the hand, right? That one is coming. And like the Pac-12 survive. I don't know, man. That's... Dude, you're not even the Mountain West at this point.
Well,
so
that's why we have a poll, so everyone can
everyone
vote.
Everyone can vote.
It's like a democracy, Jason. Imagine that.
Now I want the Electoral Sports College is what I want. Screw democracy.
I bet he won't certify the results of this poll.
I won't. I'm sending fake electors. Fake news.
They're eating the pets. coming up next, well, I want to tell you.
They're eating the pets.
Portland Diamond Project's Cred Cheek will join us at 4. We'll get the lowdown on what they're doing.
I have concepts of a plan.
So that's like 45 minutes.
I do like that. They do have concepts of a plan.
But up next, let's talk about the Blazers.
Let's.
And how you will be able to find them to watch them lose.
Wow.
Well, it's true.
Well, you want them to lose. Cooper Flagg, baby.
We'll be right back. It's Isaac and Souk on The Fan. Yes, the Blazers are in the news today.
Blazers.
God, this team needs some positive PR, and this is...
Well, they got it.
This is it.
Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't like this.
No,
I mean,
this is great. This is great news.
This is a win for you fans,
yes.
Assuming you want to watch the team.
Yeah.
I would say that this is a bigger win when the team, if the team gets good.
Yes,
this will be huge.
We talked about this when the report came out last year that they had lost somewhere in between 60 and 70% of their TV audience. Real numbers, by the way. Whoops.
En route.
We were like that. Like everyone.
Well, and the team sucked.
Yeah. Everyone in that front office had, and they knew they were going to suck, like going forward for the next year or two. You knew. We said on the program that day, we're like, guaranteed they have a more accessible option next year. And then within like a couple weeks, I get Danny is the one that broke it. Give Danny credit, Danny Maring of Danny and Dusty fame. Didi's had this for months. I mean, maybe not the exact details, but this is one of those. There's just no way you could keep doing this and have no TV viewership. And the Phoenix Suns did this down in Phoenix, and it rose their viewership by leaps and bounds. So you knew this was coming. They had no choice. And it was just a matter of when it was announced and the details of it. And so I think it's a really, really good day to be a Blazer fan.
So beginning this season, the Blazers will be over on K2. I listened to Dwayne Hankins, our president, mm-hmm. on Danny and Dusty earlier today, and I couldn't have been more confused. There's a lot of there's going to be a lot of training that goes with this about, you know, where to find the team, and there's a lot that goes into this. But basically, what you need to know is if you have satellite cable or even just an antenna, you will most likely get KATU channel 2 here in Portland or the area or wherever your Sinclair station is, wherever you live in Oregon.
Basically, anywhere in Oregon and Washington.
That's where the Blazers games will be.
Yeah.
Outside of the games that are on, you know, ESPN, which I don't think there are.
There's one.
There's one. Well, nobody on the national level wants to watch them.
There's one game on TNT.
So it's great.
And that's the Bucks game.
And the Root thing, so Hankins did take a little bit of a shot at Root, thinly veiled. He said, you know, look, we were kind of buried amongst all the teams on that channel, and they lost a lot of their just sort of their own programming that, you know, shows that pertain to the Blazers and kept people thinking about and talking about the Blazers. So all of that is coming back. You can stream them if you don't have cable or your cord cutter. You can stream them with Blazer Vision, which will be $120 for the season or $19.99 a month beginning November 1st. And I think they said if you buy season tickets, you get that free.
Yeah.
And I also think they said you get two tickets to a game if you sign up for the season of Blazers Vision. So some incentives there. So KATU, Channel 2, that's what you need to know. And it's just going to be much easier. They said basically the numbers are they're going to quadruple the number of people who can get their games because it has been absurd and absolutely, it's just a travesty.
Forever.
For as big as the Trailblazers are in this area, that all the way back to the Comcast Sportsnet deal that not a lot of people, but I just mean like not everyone in the state can access their games. This is about as good as they could do in terms of access, making it easy and readily available for fans. Now, they're going to suck, and we all know that. So, look, they're already going to get a bump in ratings. Mm-hmm. They know that by this move. But I think if they ever get good, this will be huge. This is a smart move to sacrifice a little money to be readily available to most fans because the second they become relevant again, you're going to have a bunch of people looking for them, and you need to be easy to find. You need to capitalize on that. So the fact that they have somebody over there that figured that out is, I don't know, it's smart. Like you said, the Suns have already done it. I think teams are kind of figuring this out, but not all of them.
No.
So give credit to the Blazers for making this happen. It starts this season, and they'll be easier to watch.
Yeah, because so many times you look at the amount of money that these local TV deals are worth. This isn't the Dodgers, okay? The Dodgers TV deal is enormous. But most of these local NBA, NHL deals, even the smaller markets in Major League Baseball, you're not talking about tens of millions of dollars.
No.
And it's maddening that these teams are cut off their own nose, right? It's with their fans, because there's like, well, we're chasing a couple million dollars in the grand scheme of things. My God, it's not even the mid-level exception, right? Like you can't buy Gary Trent for this, and yet they're willing to do it to screw over fans and make it hard. And here's the thing: even if you're a decent team, if you make it hard for people to find your games, guess what happens? They don't watch. Now, it's one thing if you're a juggernaut. If you're Alabama football, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, if you're the Dodgers, people will find you. The Lakers. But boy, that is and the Blazers necessarily have not been that in a long, long time. And so I'm glad that they figured it out, because the Phoenix Suns were a really good team, and their new owner came in and was like, oh my God, our TV numbers are dreadful. Like, what? Oh no, here. They even sent out HD antennas to fans that didn't have them. Their thing was, we're going to put our product in front of as many people as possible. And if you do that, you're going to drive ticket sales, you're going to drive merch, you're going to drive all of those things, and you're going to drive interest. And then hopefully one day, when you get good and you suck bad enough, you get Cooper Flag. And then all of a sudden, in 2 or 3 years, you're back to being a traditional power. Now you've got another rabid fan base, so you're not starting from the bottom.
And then when he tears his ACL, you can tune into the talk show with Danny on it, breaking it down, making you feel better about yourself.
You stop.
Well, look,
this is good.
It's a good day.
It's a great day.
They said that beginning January 1, they're going to have a new Univision station called Rip City TV.
Yeah.
So initially, this is where it gets a little convoluted.
Yeah, this was a little funky.
There's a couple different KATU channels. Just don't worry about any of that. You're going to be able to find them.
Yeah, there's KATU Charge.
And there's 2.2 and 2.3. Yeah. It's not even worth talking about. KATU,
you're going to find it.
Much more readily available. And then January 1, they're going to a Univision station where they're going to call it Rip City TV, where they just have their own programming, and a lot of games will be on there too. Yes. So, that's a good move.
I know there's details in standard vision versus HD, and is it KATU Charge? Look, anytime you're doing something with this many games, think about this. 81 of your 82 games right now are going to be on KATU. You have one national TV game, which is kind of hilarious.
What game's that?
That's the Bucks game when Lillard comes back.
Oh, no.
That's the only national slated game right now.
What about when Bronny comes?
No. One game. One. So as it stands right now, I mean, more could get picked up, but as it stands right now, you got one national game. So you got 81 of these. And so, yes, I know the people, you know, we're getting some people that are already texting into the Vancouver text line that are complaining about all the little nuances. It's like,
can we not do this?
Exactly. You're putting 81 games.
Every time something positive comes out, there's a reason to hate it.
On free local TV, right? If you have rabbit ears, you can pick it up. And now we're going to get the, well, you know, what about this and this and this and this? Dude, when you put 81 dates on a networked TV show, there are going to be times that there's programming problems, and you're going to, it's like when they were on Root, right? Sometimes, remember when it went over to that weird Root Plus, whatever that station was, like the Kraken would be on? Try finding that damn thing. I had Comcast and couldn't find it.
And I'm sorry, your local team getting bumped for hockey miles north of you stinks.
It's absurd. So in this case, if something happens and you have to scroll down to KATU Charge or whatever, it's still going to be right there. So there's nothing perfect. There's no deal. There's no TV, no media deal ever that is going to be perfect. But never let good be the, or what do they always say? Excuse me. Perfect is the greatest enemy of good or better. It's like, oh, well, it's not perfect. There's nothing that's perfect. This is a great deal for a Blazer fan. And if you can't see that, then you're just the Grinch. And you just want to bitch about stuff. And believe me, this show is the first one to make fun of the Blazers and to call them out for all of their stupid practices, because there's a million of them.
I think it's really sexy.
But God, when they hit a home run, just it's a home run. This is like someone hitting a home run and being like, well, it didn't go into McCovey Cove. Yeah, it was a home run to the shortest part of the field, if you can even call it that. No. Do you hit a home run? Let them take their victory lap. This is a great day to be a Blazer fan.
All right, coming up next, looks like the Mountain West may be screwed, and we have a new lawsuit.
Yeah.
Another one.
Oh, no, it's the consequences of my own actions.
Bro.
What?
Here is Buck.
I'm very confident.
Yeah. Let's do it live. All right, coming up at 4, 25 minutes from now, Craig Cheek, the founder of the Portland Diamond Project, will jump on the air with us, and we'll find out what changed. Last we heard, Red Tail. Mm-hmm. And now we're hearing Zydel Yards.
Well, Red Tail, still just Red Tail for the practice facility.
So he'll be joining us here shortly. But the Mountain West may be hosed. Boy, I tell you, this is the soap opera of all soap operas.
Yeah.
Whole Pac-12 Mountain West thing.
Although I don't really understand the lawsuit, but
well, okay. So there's difference between poaching fees and exit fees.
Yes.
And the Mountain West so the Mountain West has charged.
Yeah.
They've sent a bill.
Yeah.
To the Pac-12 for $43 million for the first four schools that left. Those are not exit fees.
Yeah.
Those are poaching fees. Mm-hmm. I think that the Pac-12 is fine paying the exit fees.
Yes.
They don't want to pay the poaching fees, and so they see some legal loophole where they can fight that, and they have filed a lawsuit against the Mountain West to avoid paying those poaching fees, which I'm sure will be settled for far less than they are.
But what I don't understand, I don't know if it will be settled, because if the Mountain West, if they get UNLV, the Mountain West...
Well, they already have UNLV.
No. If the Pac-12 gets UNLV, if the poaching fees go away and the Pac-12 would save roughly $67 million. Think about that. That's a big get. So what we've come to learn is that the American Athletic Conference teams were getting chum change. The Pac-12 paid to get the Big Four out of the Mountain West, and then they didn't do anything with UNLV, and then they went and they kind of lowballed the American teams. They went lowballed Tulane and Memphis and all those guys, and they were like, no, we're not doing that. But if all of a sudden, if you get $67 million back in poaching fees from the Mountain West, you can go back to those American Athletic Conference teams, which haven't signed any sort of new agreement. They still have their exit fees, which are still expensive. They always are. But they didn't, when they put out that joint statement, that was just like, hey, we're committed to be here. But there was no longer term agreement. They can still exit if they want. And if the Pac-12 has an extra $67 million they don't have to spend on the Mountain West, they can go back and try to throw more of that at the American Athletic Conference team. So this is a big deal, not just for the Mountain West, who may get just decimated by this, but then certainly for the American Athletic Conference. What I don't understand, and again, we'll see what happens in court, but so the exit fees cannot be challenged, right? They're there for every conference, and the Mountain West has those in writing that all the Mountain West teams signed. The problem is that when the Mountain West a year ago agreed to a scheduling agreement with the Pac-12, they all sat down and wrote up a contract together. And as part of that contract, the Mountain West said, okay, we're going to have a scheduled alliance. We'll do it for a year with an option for two. But as part of this, you are not allowed to come in and poach our teams. And the Pac-12 said, cool, we're going to sign on the dotted line. And they agreed to a figure. They signed that contract. And then a year later, the Pac-12 poaches the Mountain West and then says, well, we don't like that. You signed it. Like, oh no, this is the same thing that Clemson and Florida State are doing. They signed the media rights deals twice and then went to the ACC and was like, well, that's not fair. And the ACC said, get bent.
But didn't they not? I think, wasn't the second year of it? Like, it was supposed to be 2 years, and then they decided that it would only be 1 year?
Well, they did the 1 year, and then supposedly there was an option to do a second a second year.
And they did not agree.
And they did not agree.
And so that's where the Pac-12, I think, is seeing a challenge here.
Good luck with that.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think they would sue if they didn't think they had at least.
I think they're trying to sue because they're running out of money and they're running out of options.
Well, but I just think about it a little differently. I think that, you know, you got high powered attorneys looking at all this, and if they see something where they can save some money, yes, of course they're going to sue. I mean, it's a nasty game. I mean, what's funny to me is all the finger pointing, like Oregon State and Washington State just crying about the Big Ten and the Pac-12 schools that left. Well, they've done the same thing to the Mountain West.
Absolutely.
But somehow it's called survival, or what are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
And look, I don't think it's exactly the same, but you're doing the same thing that you were bitching about for so many months that the other Pac-12 schools did to you.
But but to your point about the second agreement, the second year of agreement, you realize that they're three games into the scheduling agreement when they're poaching Mountain West teams, like three games into it. I would love to know. And like I said, I'll be interested to see how this plays out. I would just love to know how a group of people gets together and signs a contract saying that if we agree to this, right, these are the stipulations if you do X, and then almost immediately, three games into that, you do X, and then are like, well, we don't want to pay what we agree to. This is the same thing. Everyone keeps saying that Clemson and Florida State are going to try to force their way out. They've been trying this now for how many months that they've been doing this well over a year. And guess who's not getting out of the ACC? Florida State and Clemson. Now, they may come to the table and they may come to an agreement and try to come up with some viable ways to try to make this work for everyone. But it sounds like Florida State and Clemson are not getting out of the ACC because they agreed to something. And yes, you can always negotiate your way out and you may be able to save a few bucks here and there. But this idea that you can sign a contract as a conference and then turn around and sue saying, I don't like the contract. I mean, I'm stunned that so many people think that the Pac-12 has some sort of leg to stand on here, unless there's something in there that I don't understand.
And that's where I think it's just so hard to comment on these things because we haven't seen the agreement.
No.
We don't know what was said, what was agreed to, and what, you know, maybe the Pac-12 is going to say in court that the Mountain West reneged on.
This smacks of desperation in that you got turned down by a bunch of schools. Like, this to me is, it was like 2 a.m. at the end. It was closing time. Last call, right? And you think that you're kind of hot ass. And you thought that the ugly gals at the end of the bar would all just be willing to come home with you, no matter what. And it turns out that some of those girls at the bar, they looked at you and were like, yeah, no. And now you're pissed. Now you're pissed about it. You got turned down by UNLV, Air Force, Tulane, Memphis. And now I think you're kind of desperate because if you're the Pac-12 and you're looking around, especially if UNLV doesn't come and you don't have any more money to buy teams, I don't know where you turn other than,
hey,
Bishop
Sycamore, dude.
You know, North Dakota State. So this to me is not a power move.
Hey, they're going to the Snow Belt.
This is a desperation move.
Did you see the Snow Belt League?
No.
Did you hear about that?
The Snow Belt?
Yeah, I don't know who did it on Twitter. It was like the College Football Reddit or something did a Snow Belt conference idea where if you took the four Dakota schools, Idaho, the two Montanas, and Wyoming, and you put them in an 8-team league,
yeah,
their average Sagarin rating would be 65, which would make them the second strongest league outside of the Pac-4 or the Pac. Sorry, outside of the Power 4 and the Pac, this new Pac-2.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Pac-12. Yeah, dude, I mean, they're good. They play good football.
Yeah, go get Montana.
And that's
go
a creative name, yeah. Snowbelt. But anyway, the thing with Mountain West here is that that's going on as well is that, you know, they just the other day, this thing's getting ugly. They signed a grant of rights or got a signed grant of rights from every school in that league, 7 of their 8 members, including UNLV. Mm-hmm. The problem is that Utah State didn't sign it and bolted to the Pac-12. Yeah. Because they did that, that meant the grant of rights that UNLV signed was null because they didn't have enough votes from the members of the Mountain West to ratify it or whatever you
So now we'll see if UNLV changes their mind.
So I've been sitting here hitting refresh every 30 minutes to try to figure out what the hell UNLV is going to do because it sounds like their decision is going to come down really soon.
Yep.
And I'm guessing they jump to the Pac-12, but we don't know yet.
No. So we'll
So that's what's going on. It's wild out there.
And if the Mountain West, if the UNLV does leave, then the Mountain West may be forced to merge with like Conference USA or something like that in order to survive. Or
they go away.
Or the Mountain West and the Pac-12, just pull your head out of your asses and merge, which is what you should have done. But there's so much bad blood.
They hate each other. Ross Dellinger, Yahoo, said that, you know, if UNLV bolts, Air Force is probably gone too.
Yeah.
And that leaves, I think he said, 5 teams left? I can never remember who's in what league anymore.
So there's 7, yeah, they'd leave 5.
That would leave 5. They would only need 2 of those 5.
Yeah. To dissolve.
To vote for dissolution.
Yep.
And the league is gone. And then they all just scatter to. Yep. And then, oh, by the way, that benefits the Pac-12.
Exit fees.
Because they would not have to pay their exit fees of the schools leaving.
So, and you know, if you're the. And
so then, the Mountain West could be poof by tomorrow.
Yeah. And if the Pac-12 does that, then you have a war chest to go back after the American Athletic Conference teams to strengthen yourself. Then, one. Congratulations, you played a very slick game. You murdered a conference, just like someone tried to murder you, and you're going to get what you want. And I don't fault them, just like I don't fault the Big Ten or the Big 12 coming for you. But it's hard to cry poor when you're going to turn around and do the exact same thing to a conference that got done to you. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. The UNLV thing could be a really, really big move.
All right, let's do the Craig Cheek pregame show.
Let's.
Coming up next, we will spitball about what MLB to Portland is up to, and then Craig Cheek will come on and set us straight at 4 o'clock. It's 3:45 on The Fan. Rock around, that's right, on time. All right, coming up here in 10 minutes, the founder and president of the Portland Diamond Project, the team trying to bring Major League Baseball to Portland. Craig Cheek is going to join us because we got wind last night. Willamette Week, which means it was probably a leak from the city. You can always tell whoever has the news, you can tell where the leak came from.
Exactly.
And this one's probably from the city of Portland because the Willamette Week had it that the Portland Diamond Project is now entering into a window to buy Zidell Yards, which is down by our old studio, which is right by the OHSU tram, right on the Willamette.
Yeah, right on the, you could see the Tillicum Bridge right there, which would be a phenomenal sight because the, you know, the waterfront park was always something, which is why Terminal 2 was so attractive. Just the idea, waterfront parks, whether it's like what they got it in Pittsburgh, down in San Francisco, it's just a beautiful backdrop and it would showcase the best part of our city. And I've never seen a city that uses their waterways worse than we do. And this would be kick ass. That thing's been sitting down there for years with nothing going on. Yeah. They used to do the Circus Olay down there. And while it's not as big as Terminal 2, 33 acres is a nice big old plot. I think the Rose Quarter is just shy of 30 and not the, the Moda Center, that entire quarter. With the Coliseum and the parking and all that. So, I mean, it's a big area.
Well, it's crazy when you drive over the freeway and you look down on that, it's just that empty lot right under the I-5 there.
Yep.
Right next to the tram. It's really hard to look at it and go, God, they can fit a Major League Baseball stadium in there. But Barrett told me that, and he, you know, this was a long time ago when he was on the air. I remember he mentioned that the Giants Stadium in San Francisco is built on a smaller lot than that.
Yeah.
And look at what the, what that state, I mean, that stadium is wonderful. If you've ever been down there and it's right on the water. And, like you said, I think what they're going for here is they're going for, you mentioned Pittsburgh and what they have going on in Pittsburgh. I've never been there, so I don't know what the infrastructure is like there, but from what I understand, the ballpark's on one side of the river and then all the parking and bars and restaurants and stuff maybe on the other. I don't know. I've never been there. But he said this is kind of the model where if you look over at that OMSI area, there's some land over there, and we'll ask Craig Cheek when he comes on if they may need to buy some more land over there for some parking garages, and people can park over there and use the Tillicum crossing bridge to get over to the stadium because there really is not much room for, you know, apartments, bars, restaurants, retail, and things down just right there on the Zidell Yards plot of land. But
well, it makes sense.
They have a plan.
Yeah, when I looked at it, some of the, like the ballparks in Major League Baseball, just kind of FYI, when you think about, again, 33 acres for the Zidell properties, Target Field in Minnesota is built on 8.5. Wrigley Field is built on under 9. Fenway Park is under 9.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The Rangers Park is 13 acres, the brand new one that they built. The Las Vegas one that they're trying to build on is 9. But like the Braves have 60. But obviously 60 is because they built an entire entertainment district and all that. So, I mean, in theory, if you just looked at it as 33 acres and you built a baseball stadium and parking on 15 acres, you would still have a decent size. And then that would leave you 18 acres to build, you know, housing, retail, you know, bars, all that
stuff. But make no mistake, the reason Zidell Yards was not a thing, because it's been sitting down there for sale for a long time.
Yeah.
The reason maybe it wasn't their biggest and best plot of land, at least for a ballpark, is because of its size. I mean, that's why they went T2 first. T2 is not going to work. They went Redtail next because Redtail's huge.
Mm-hmm. 164.
Well, and listen, the thing about Redtail is, from what I understand, and we'll ask Craig Cheek this as well, they still need Redtail. They need, for all of this to pencil, they're going to need to develop Redtail, put the ballpark at Zidell, and then have parking and some other infrastructure on the other side of the river. So there's a lot of moving parts. I wonder, and I don't know if Craig Cheek will cop to this. I have no idea, but I will ask him. I wonder if this isn't a nice compromise with the city. Because remember, the city has to sell them Redtail. For them to buy Redtail, the city owns that.
Yep.
So they have to negotiate that with the city. And for the city to sell them that, the city wanted the ballpark up at Lloyd Center. And that doesn't pencil for...
There's no property.
For these guys. So maybe this is the nice meet in the middle situation. I don't know, but maybe it is where the city gets their downtown ballpark, which helps the city of Portland, but then also Redtail then gets sold to these guys and they can develop and make all the money that they
want. Yeah, because Ted Wheeler came out and gave a very glowing statement. He liked this.
Yeah.
Because you're right. When you're privately funding several billions of dollars, you need to make your money back, and you make your money back on all that stuff you talked about, all the development of it.
So what's really going on here? Let's get it straight from Craig Cheek. He's the founder and president of the Portland Diamond Project, and he will join us next on The Fan.